The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in with us and maybe even give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We welcome your calls at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for another opportunity. What a beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio. I just pray that we could just again give you the glory for it. And Father, we just ask that you would just help us to be a blessing, help us to be an encouragement to somebody here this afternoon. And we do pray that you'd use this program for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, coming on the air here this afternoon, had a couple things I want to mention. And before I forget, I want to make mention that I'll be having a special guest on our Sunday night program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, which is right here on AM 1220, The Word, on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock. We're on 11 until midnight. It's not a rebroadcast of this program. It's a live program with your questions and answer or calls and questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. But we have guests on occasion, and this Sunday night, we're having a special guest. We're having Usama Dakduk, who is was born in Egypt. He actually grew up in a Christian home in Egypt, but because of being in a Muslim country, he grew up in surrounded by Islam, went to a government school, and throughout school, he was taught everything about Islam, just like any Muslim student would be. He's been in America since 1992, and he has a great ministry reaching Muslims with the gospel, as well as helping Christians to understand Islam. And you can find his website at thestraightway.org. That's thestraightway.org, and that is it's called The Straight Way, obviously, The Straight Way of Grace Ministry. And Usama Dakduk, he'll be with us on the air live. He'll give his testimony, of course, a little bit, and then we'll have opportunity for you to have questions if you want to give him a call. Give us a call on Sunday night, this coming Sunday night. And so you might want to mark that down if you know somebody who'd be interested in the subject and invite them to listen to our program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, on Sunday night right here in this station this coming Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Well, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, our Friday afternoon program, and also coming on the air today, I was listening to some of the reports in New York City, a tragedy there, of course, with an individual who shot a former coworker and, of course, killed him. The police shot him. He's dead. And last I heard, about 9 individuals were wounded in that. And the right outside the Empire State Building in that area there in New York City. And certainly our prayers go out to the people that are involved there. Apparently, he is disgruntled over something that happened a year ago when he lost his job. And this is somebody he used to work with. So not a terrorist attack. That's what usually one of the things people think about first and foremost there. And of course, it's only going to be a matter of time before Mayor Bloomberg uses it as an excuse to try to beat the drums for more gun control. Of course, New York City already has some of the strongest gun control laws in the country, and he probably was breaking the law. Well, he certainly was breaking the law in the use of his gun, and I think he was breaking the law having it anyways in the first place. So the laws against the handgun there didn't seem to stop him. He had nursed this vendetta, apparently, against this guy for the last year. And the Bible warns about bitterness springing up and the root of bitterness springing up, and it's like a vine. In fact, when you think about bitterness, have you ever had to deal with poison ivy? When poison ivy gets established somewhere, it's really difficult to get out. And at first, it looks kind of attractive, actually. And it's kind of nice glossy leaves and nice ornamental look to it. Gets nice red berries, and the leaves turn nice and red in the fall and everything. And it looks kind of nice. That's a problem with bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And that's a problem. People get caught up in something that happens. They get upset with it. And they nurse that, and that bitterness takes root in them, and it springs up in their heart. It gets a hold of them. It ensnares their soul, and eventually it affects those around them. And once it gets established and roots in the heart, it's really hard to get out, and just like poison ivy, but you got to do it. And, you know, it's a shame he could not have found a better way to deal with his bitterness and what all happened. I know speculation will be coming out in the coming days, and as more information about the individual comes to light. But this is one of the reasons that we need churches all across this country that can reach out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that rather than take that bitterness and allow the devil to feed it, and then come out in ways like this, people can hopefully get into a church where they can hear the gospel, they can trust Christ as their Savior, they can have the Holy Spirit get rooted in their life, they can begin allowing God to deal with them, and let the Lord take away that bitterness from them as they begin to grow and to develop the ability. It's not always easy, but through God's help, you can become forgiving. And God can give you the power and the ability to forgive people, and especially when we look at how He's forgiven us. You know, He's forgiven us so much. What He asks of us is really so little when He asks us to forgive those like in the Lord's Prayer, you know, those that have trespassed against us. And so we need to pray for people, and who knows how many times there are people who have walked into churches and they've heard the gospel, and God's been able to head off things like this. So we pray for people that are out there, pray for people that are reaching out with the gospel. That's one of the reasons we do this program. We want to reach out. We want to try and help people, and we want to try and point people to Christ. And if you know Christ as your Savior, or you're searching, we certainly welcome you visiting us at the Bible Baptist Church, which, of course, is where I'm the pastor in Richfield, Ohio, and we certainly want to answer your questions about the Bible and things that are happening in the world around us on the basis of God's Word, what God has to say about it, hopefully, as best we can, applying what the Bible has to say to events around us in the world, and that's why we do this program. And, of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, thinking about churches, and I was listening to a program the other day talking about the levels of giving in regards to different people, and they've done studies, and this isn't anything new in the studies, but the more conservative and the more religious a person is, generally the more they give, the more they will give charitably, charitable giving. And you would think it would have something to do with your income level. Obviously, somebody who's got a lot of money would be more able to give than somebody that doesn't have a lot of money. But ironically, people with less money tend to be more charitable than people who are rich. And I'm not sure all the reasons there, except that maybe greed might have a little bit of part of that. The thing that I was getting that is with that is that some of the liberals looking at these studies have tried to say, well, yeah, but if you separate out giving to churches, if you take away religious giving, then just look at secular giving alone, then liberals tend to be more giving. And there is some truth to that in the sense that if you divide the country into regions, the western part of the country and the northeastern part of the country tend to be, in particular the northeast, tend to be the least giving and the most liberal, and the Midwest and then the Southeast in particular tend to be the most giving and the most conservative, and likewise the Northeast and the West tend to be the least religious, and the Midwest and the Southeast tend to be the most religious. And so you can see that correspondence there. But when you take religious giving out of the picture, you find that the West and the Northeast tend to become the most giving regions because they're the most in terms of giving to secular type charities. And so the liberals, they point to that. But you know, there's nothing that prevents the liberals from giving more to secular charities, and to devalue the giving to churches and to religious causes. You know, that's the Bible says that we ought to give, and that we ought to give freely. In fact, Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you again." And we see giving in the Bible. There's the tithe, which is 10% that was given to the in the Bible in the Old Testament. And we see that many people in the Old Testament, even before it was a part of the Jewish law practice, that Abraham, for instance, gave 10% of his monies and things that he had from the prince of Salem, or the king of Salem there, Melchizedek. And we also find that in the New Testament, we see much to say about giving, and certainly 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is a great chapter talking about giving and things of that nature. And one of the things that we need to realize is that we give, and we should give, because God has given to us. And that's like I said in Luke chapter 6, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And we understand that God will give back to us as we've given to him. And besides, you know, we're entrusted with what God has given to us so that we can use it for his glory. That's part of the reason for our existence. Revelation chapter 4, and it says that we're created for his glory, to bring honor and glory to him. And so in our giving, we should do that. And if we choose to freely give to a church, to a religious charity, that's in no way less of a gift than if we choose to give to the Red Cross or to the Boy Scouts or the local cancer center or something like that. I mean, it's giving out of what God has blessed us with. And of course, a lot of times I heard a suggestion that liberals are willing to give more through their taxes so that the money that's taken in will be more equitably distributed so that it won't be wasted on so many religious charities, which of course I find to be in and of itself an offensive thought, to think that it's wasted when you give to your local church, to think that that is somewhat less value to the community than when the government takes money out of your pocket and gives it to somebody so that they can study, you know, the breeding habits of the African toad or something like that. But you know, it's I guess a matter of perspective. But if we understand the value of the local church in the community, and I'm thinking of, for instance, churches, there's a program called Reformers Unanimous that a lot of churches, independent Baptist churches, there's several of them here in northeastern Ohio, for instance, that sponsor these Reformers Unanimous chapters. And these chapters do an incredible job helping people who are struggling with alcohol, struggling with drugs, struggling with other addictive behaviors. And they have a tremendous success rate in reaching people and helping them with their addictions by pointing them to Christ, getting them into the Bible, getting them into a church, which, of course, the local church is God's support group. Did you ever wonder how people survived before there was Alcoholics Anonymous or any of these types of groups, before we had psychiatrists and psychologists? God's support group, the local church. And unfortunately, the local church has oftentimes abdicated its role in the community over to government and things of that nature. In fact, if you look at a lot of hospitals, they were started originally as religious charities, and or you look at missions such as the City Mission in Cleveland or the Haven of Rest in Akron, they were all started by religious people and generally Christians. And then also a number of hospitals and things that were started by Jewish interests as well. But religion had a lot to do with that. The desire to go out and reach people and help people, minister their physical needs, and use that as an opportunity to reach them with their spiritual needs. And, you know, if you don't bother reaching people with their spiritual needs, if you could imagine if the City Mission or Haven of Rest in Akron were to bring homeless people in off the streets and say, well, okay, sit in this room, we're going to preach the gospel to you, now you've heard the gospel, go back out on the streets. They wouldn't be too favorably inclined to the message. That's why they provide them with food, they provide them with clothing, they provide them with shoes, medical care, a safe place to sleep for the night, and things of that nature while trying to reach them with the gospel. I remember some years ago when I, shortly after having become the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, my wife and I had returned from the mission field in the Samoan Islands, and I can remember we were going up to the City Mission with, I think it was Bedford Baptist Church at the time, and I was telling somebody at a restaurant in Richfield that we had been going up there, and this woman who went to another church in Richfield said, oh, well, our pastor told us that we shouldn't be involved in things like that. And I said, why? And said, because they make people listen to a sermon before they let them eat. And I said, well, you know, they, what's the big deal? I mean, if they sleep through the sermon, if they want to, that's a small price to pay to have to spend a half hour, 45 minutes listening to a message. And then they get a free meal. They get a place to stay. They get a shower and all kinds of stuff. I mean, what a small price to pay. And besides, it's Christians that established these places. And the reason was to reach them with the gospel. Just giving them the food isn't going to be enough. And so, anyway, to talk about giving and levels of giving there, that's why Christians have been, and conservatives have typically been more generous in their giving. And kind of ironic, my wife and I, who certainly don't make anywhere near the amount of money that Vice President Joe Biden makes, we remember reading, I think it was about 3 years ago when his tax returns were out, and we said, wow, look at that. We've given more to charity than he has. He had a lot more money. I wish that I could take his income and multiply it by 10% and make it my, or his giving and multiply it by 10%. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I'd have less money if I took his giving, and multiplied it by 10%. But if you're curious, here in the local area, Akron ranks number 242 of a study of major cities in America at 4.1% giving, and Cleveland ranks 277 with 3.9%. And Sandusky here's down at 320 at 3.5%. You know, that's really pretty low compared to what many Christians and many people give routinely, much larger amounts than that. Again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I believe we've got a caller calling in, and I didn't see it on the screen there right away, but let's get Nancy on the line here. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al, thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi, welcome.
I wanted to ask a question about Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. Now, I'm not sure if, would it be, could you apply that verse to President Obama and why, one reason why not to reelect him? Because he causes divisions among people in the country, like the rich against the poor, the, you know, the pro-life people against the pro-death people. And or is this referring to just problems within the church? I just wondered if you could use that verse regarding Obama.
All right.
Not to reelect him.
Yeah. When we look at that verse there in Romans chapter 16, he's talking, he's wrapping up his letter here, and he is sending greetings to a variety of people, and then he makes a statement. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. The problem is there were people entering into the churches, even in Paul's day, that were corrupting the doctrines. And this primary application really is, you know, within, you know, the religious setting and in the church. And but it gives us a principle that applies outside of the church. Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he wrote in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Now, that kind of sounds like the world we live in today, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Traitors. Well, maybe we'll just leave that word there. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then he says this, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And when we have political leaders, and certainly Obama has been guilty of this, claiming to a form of Christianity while denying the power thereof, he claims a belief in God, but the only time he really goes to church is when there's a political value to it. And
yes.
Certainly, I he's never repudiated his Marxist upbringing. In fact, our guest that we're going to have, Usama Dakduk, on Sunday night program, he has a link on his site talking about things in regarding to Obama, where he was born to a Muslim father, which according to Islam's teachings makes one a Muslim, and he was raised in Indonesia, where he attended a church listed as a Muslim. He went to the mosque with his stepfather, who was also Muslim at that time, and he's never repudiated Islam. And in fact,
he actually promotes it. I mean, he gives preference to it over Christianity.
Oh,
I just saw two movies. One of them, "Dreams of My Real Father." I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't seen
Joel Gilbert, but it proves that Frank Marshall Davis is his real father.
And there's a lot of thought of that.
I saw the movie 2016, Obama's America. I just saw that yesterday, and that does not include that information, but it does show his preference to the Muslim. I mean, both of them show his preference to the Muslim religion.
Oh, absolutely, and we're coming up on the last minute or two here.
Okay.
But I was going to say, he certainly, when he went to the Middle East, he avoided Israel. Now, he did go there as a candidate, but first trip in the Middle East as president, he bowed to the Saudi king. And,
yes,
you know, he certainly favored Islamic interest. He has allowed Muslim Brotherhood and related groups to infiltrate the government at the highest levels. And, you know, it's traitors, heady, high-minded. And he says, from such turn away. And he also says, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. But let me just drop down. The way we resist them is to continue, he says in verse 14, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to turn to, the Word of God. Well, it's been a pleasure being with you today. God bless. Join us Sunday night. Join us tonight at the Bible Baptist Church.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications. Holding